nutrition's tied to so many different aspects of your life. So it's just, you know, this opportunity for you to work on bettering yourself. So I think that that trust and confidence and, you know, feeling like you have someone who's got your back just gives you this mindset of, I don't want to let that person down. And that helps keep you consistent.
This is episode number 76 of Pursuing Health with Adi Kaju. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage-breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWOD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility WOD has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility WOD to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WOD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JULIEFOUCHER. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I get to share with you one of the very first conversations that I had with Adi Kaju, which happened back at the 2017 CrossFit Games, but I can say that since that time, our friendship has grown quite a bit. If you don't yet know Adi, she's built quite a reputation in the CrossFit and weightlifting communities as a nutrition expert, and she's helped elite athletes including Katrin David's daughter, Brooke Wells, and Camille LeBlanc-Bazinet dial in their nutrition to enhance their athletic performance. She's the founder of Working Against Gravity, which is an online nutrition consulting program dedicated to helping athletes and everyday people change their body composition. She's also an elite athlete in her own right, having earned a national medal in Olympic weightlifting. So we caught up and we talked about Adi's nutrition philosophy, counting macros, how she came to own one of the most well-known nutrition businesses in the CrossFit world, and some tips that she has to share with individuals who are looking to improve their diet. Since our conversation, I've enjoyed getting to know Adi even better, and she's been incredibly helpful to me personally in tracking my own nutrition. Just as we talk about at the CrossFit Level 1, I'm a firm believer that quality is the place to start when it comes to nutrition. But depending on your lifestyle and your personal goals, there comes a point where tracking quantity may be beneficial as well. And weighing and measuring is the best way that we have to maximize the way we're fueling our bodies as well as our athletic performance. And Adi has figured out a great system for helping people make that happen. So before we get started with the episode, I have a few quick reminders as usual. First, if you're enjoying the podcast, you can head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. It really does make a difference. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. If you are looking to dial in your nutrition this January and focus on quality, then you may also want to check out our free Healthy Self Reset program at healthyselfreset.com. So last year, I joined forces with one of my close friends and functional dietitian nutritionist, Bridget Tigemeyer. And this year, my husband and fellow MD, Danny, has joined the fun. And we're making the program bigger and better. 28 days of recipes, meal plans, shopping lists, and workouts you can do anywhere with absolutely no equipment needed. We also have an amazing new online dashboard and a very supportive community, so we hope to see you there with us this January. Again, you can head to healthyselfreset.com right now to sign up. It kicks off January 15th. Finally, please remember that although I'm now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So, here we go. Let's get started with episode number 76 of Pursuing Health, featuring Adi Cashew. I'm super excited about this. We are here at the CrossFit Games. I'm with Adi Cashew.
Yeah, that's it.
Cashew. Perfect. And we are at the CrossFit Games. This is so exciting. And you know a lot of these athletes really well because you've worked with them on their nutrition. And so I really want to get into all the details of nutrition on this podcast for like elite athletes, but also how it applies to the general population and people who are doing CrossFit a couple days a week or maybe not even doing CrossFit at all, and how nutrition is such an important part of their health. So how did nutrition even come on your radar? How did you get into this in the first place?
The first, how it all started. So I was like 16 years old.
Okay.
And I've always been super athletic my whole life, played tons of different sports. I grew up in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
So I got all the summer sports and all the winter sports.
Amazing. I feel like Canadians are very sporty.
Definitely.
Definitely. You play all the sports growing up.
Yeah, because you get the opportunity. You get like all the different seasons, and it's common. I think we have like less football than you guys have.
Sure.
But I started to gain weight, getting closer to 16, and I became like actually too heavy to participate in certain sports. So like water skiing, I wasn't like strong enough to physically like carry myself out of the water to slalom ski or figure skating. Like the heavier you are, the harder it is to do some of the skills, especially when like your body weight to power ratio gets out of whack.
Right.
So I started to just like pull out of sports and I had a couple year stretch where I was just like getting heavier, and I was like quickly on approaching around 200 pounds at 16 years old, and my mother just like had tried everything. She used to like bribe me by trying to convince me to wear jeans, because you can feel yourself growing in jeans mm-hmm. more than you can feel yourself growing in sweatpants. And I remember her just being like, hey, like, I'm going to take you to a nutritionist. Yeah. I'm going to, like, pay for it. And I was, like, reluctantly. I mean, I wanted to make a change, but mm-hmm. I didn't see how I could do it. Mm-hmm. And when we showed up at that nutritionist, the first thing she made me do was get on the scale in front of my mom.
Oh, wow.
And I, like, vividly remember being, like, does she have to be here? So, and the nutritionist was, like, yes.
Wow.
And that moment just, like, changed my life.
Wow. So what was it about getting on the scale in front of your mom? Had you never really thought about weight before, or what did that mean?
I think it was
head?
Like, it made it real, yeah. and she knew about it now. Mm. Like, before it was like, maybe I could like hide it a little bit, or she didn't know how bad things had gotten, or okay. it kind of like put like this number on it that now she has this like baseline to yeah. measure my success or failure off of, or my progress off of. And wow. it was like this like number to mm-hmm. define where I was at. Mm-hmm. And it just totally like put me into like a competitive mode of like, I want to make her proud, or I don't want her to be sad anymore. And mm-hmm. then now every week she's going to see this number.
Wow.
So it gave me this accountability, I guess.
Yes, totally. So then what was it like when you started to work with the nutritionist, and how did you approach
yes,
your
so
nutrition
she
at
did
that
it
point?
Similarly to kind of what I do right now.
Okay.
Like macros, yeah. and it was protein, fats, carbs, and she classified fruit differently.
Okay.
And she would give me like a certain number of points, kind of like Weight Watchers.
Okay.
And there would be lists of food items, and certain food items would constitute as 1 point or half a point or a quarter of a point. And okay. I would like mix and match my meal plans for the week. Mm-hmm. And I would just go every single week, and we would change up the meal plan for the week, see how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. And I was like, when I really want to do something, I'm pretty disciplined.
Yeah.
If I really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed.
So you were all in.
Oh, I was all in. I never cheated. And I think it was like 5 months until I had lost 45 pounds.
Wow. That's amazing. As a 16-year-old, too, that's a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like once you lost 45 pounds? How did you feel? Were you starting to play sports again?
I did start playing sports again. Mm-hmm. I started like feeling comfortable working out again, like okay. being in the gym again. So it was, I was definitely more comfortable. It was kind of strange because I was in second year of high school mm-hmm. and I did the first 2 years of high school being overweight mm-hmm. and self-conscious. And then the second 2 years of high school, I'd lost all this weight and mm-hmm. I felt super much more confident.
Yeah.
I was getting more attention. Like boys started noticing me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely more confident. I was more excited to get to the gym and, you know, mm-hmm. keep this momentum going, and I was excited about where I was at mm-hmm. for sure.
That's awesome. And then I know you've been through many different phases of your athletic career in different mm-hmm. sports, but can you talk a little bit about that and how your nutrition changed to support those different goals?
Right. So at first it was just to be healthy mm-hmm. and to like steer myself off this path that I was headed mm-hmm. to who knows where. Maybe I would have ended up with obesity or diabetes or mm-hmm. whatever it was. And so that's what it was initially. And
yeah.
then once I started exercising, I had went to university and I actually found CrossFit.
Okay.
I watched the 2009 CrossFit Games, which that okay. was the last time I was at the ranch, right?
Yeah, that's about the same time I found it, because I remember watching those games like right when I first started.
I think I downloaded it on like the journal or
yeah.
like a.
They were all online, like these videos you had to download
yeah.
everyone. Yeah.
So I watched it by myself, like all alone.
Yeah.
And Miko Salo had won the games.
Yeah.
It was like the most exciting thing ever. And I would do the CrossFit.com workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started just getting into CrossFit was all about paleo and mm-hmm. zone. And that was just like how I had dictated my nutrition at that point.
Okay. So you were doing that. You were like weighing, measuring with zone blocks and.
Not as much zone. I definitely did stick more to paleo. So
okay.
I would just eat foods that were considered paleo.
Yep.
And I didn't like. Use it to justify certain things. So
okay.
I wouldn't be like totally eating tons of paleo cookies or
right.
like eating tons of bacon. I was definitely sticking more
trying
to like vegetables,
yeah.
Little fruit and little start. Like mm-hmm. I was keeping it meats and
right.
that kind of stuff.
The fitness in 100 words.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. I was diehard CrossFit when I first started.
That's amazing.
Like was like, I'm going to the CrossFit games.
Yeah.
I was doing like the .com workouts in my university gym.
Uh-huh.
It was We would have to do like thrusters downstairs, and then I'd have to like run upstairs to get to the treadmill to like run.
I remember doing that. I remember in my school gym once doing the, it was the San Francisco Crippler or something, where it's, I think it's 30 back squats and then row 1,000 meters.
Oh, gosh.
And I remember like doing the back squats and then I had to like run down the stairs and get to the rower and my legs wouldn't work. And then I think I like tripped down the stairs and then I had to go back up and my back squat weight was like still there and people were pissed. And yeah.
And in university gyms, it's like, this is my squat rack. Like,
yeah.
You can't like keep it if you're going to leave.
Yes. Oh, how far we've come. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I actually got hurt.
Okay.
I think I had like changed a percentage in a deadlift, and I decided I wanted to go heavier, and I had like tweaked my back. Mm. So I took a year off of doing anything at all.
Okay.
And when I came back, I just wanted to make sure that my technique was sound, and I wanted to go like to the basics. Mm-hmm. I had it in my mind like, I'm going to get like super proficient in my movement, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to build from there. And
smart.
That's when I fell in love with weightlifting.
Okay.
So I just stuck to weightlifting, and that's what I did for 4.5 years.
Okay.
And in terms of nutrition, I just stayed the same. Mm-hmm. I was definitely eating probably a little bit more. I was training harder than I was training when I was doing CrossFit. Mm-hmm. I was more competitive. I was more like focused on being a national level athlete, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And the time that I started tracking my macros, weighing and measuring my food was when I decided to move from the 69 kilo class down to the 63 kilo class.
Okay.
And I wanted to do it by keeping like as many variables controlled as possible, mm-hmm. so that if anything started to change in terms of my strength, that I would notice it and I would have as much control as I could.
Okay. And so at that point, prior to that, you were just trying to focus on quality kind of paleo mm-hmm. food. Then you got into macros when you were trying to go into that new weight class.
Right. And I had like a stint of trying keto for a little bit. It just didn't suit. I couldn't remain consistent and compliant enough to like remain in ketosis mm-hmm. because it just didn't suit like my lifestyle.
Yeah.
So there was just certain foods that I just didn't want to go without. Mm-hmm. So it didn't work for me.
Okay. And what did you notice about when you started tracking macros? And how maybe that was different from what you had done previously when you were working with a dietitian?
I noticed that it was much easier to control where my body weight was at. And being in a body weight specific sport, that made it super important.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that keeping things controlled, I was able to get to my weight class or within my weight class mm-hmm. and build up my food intake. Mm-hmm. But keeping things consistent and monitoring all factors so mm-hmm. that I wouldn't just, you know, randomly increase my caloric intake like 500 calories a day and all of a sudden gain like 3 kilos or whatever it was. So it was easy for me to get back up to a caloric intake that was sustainable for my lifestyle and provided for me enough variety and flexibility in what I wanted to eat and to enjoy life. Like mm-hmm. there's still, I don't like when nutrition starts to like rule your life.
Right. When you're just constantly worrying about it or
yes.
thinking about it. And probably also when you have such control, you don't have to worry about like cutting dramatic amounts of weight mm-hmm. at the last minute in an unhealthy way, which I think can happen in sports where you have to
especially
weight
in weightlifting.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've seen it many times.
Yeah, I bet. That's awesome. And then I think I saw too that when you were doing this and you were going down a weight class, you actually were still getting stronger.
Yeah, so that's kind of how like my company kind of came to be.
Okay.
So I never intended to be a business owner. I used mm-hmm. to grow up being like, I just don't want to work for myself. Like, I want to be able to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I want to be a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to do. And I had documented all of my lifts on a blog called workingagainstgravity.com.
Okay.
And my back squat went from like 270 to 315 over 4 months. And I dropped a weight class.
That's insane.
At the time, everyone was like, that's not possible. Like, mm-hmm. like there's just like something fishy's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally just, I was keeping my food as controlled as possible. And a lot of it has to do with your mindset. Like if you're going to convince yourself that you getting lighter is going to make you weaker, then it might.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure. So I think that's kind of what like sparked people's interest. Like,
what's
I thought this wasn't
here?
Possible.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so then what made you make that shift from being someone who never wanted to own their own business to saying, hey, I want to use what I've learned to help other people?
It was kind of like one step in front of the other.
Okay.
So somebody asked me to help them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, totally. I'll help you for free.
Yeah.
And then it was like another person asked me. And then it got to five people. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, this is actually taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to charge you each like $50.
Okay.
Like, this is, and like, I'll just make a little bit of money off of it. And then like five people turned into 10 people. And then it kind of just started escalating from there. And I think I still go like one step at a time.
Yeah.
That's like kind of what I'm working on as a business owner is where, like, setting, it's now so much bigger than myself that now I have, it's my responsibility to set some type of vision in the future so I can keep everyone safe and make sure everyone's being successful, not just our clients, but our staff as well.
Absolutely.
So it's really just like, what happened today?
Like, right, like, what's the next step? What do we keep doing with one foot in front of the
like,
other?
Like, here's a problem. How do I fix it?
Yeah.
I'm going to fix the problem and then I'm going to, there's going to be another problem.
Yes.
And that's just kind of how it.
I can totally relate with you because I'm the same way where I was like, I just want to become a really good doctor and like do my thing and be employed by a big hospital system because I don't want to have to worry about the business side of things. And then you get opportunities and next thing you know, you're doing a podcast or you're doing training programs online. And it's amazing because of the, like the personal connection you have and you are able to help people in such an amazing way, but it's definitely, I feel like taking it day by day and
first
having to like learn one step at a time. So it's exciting, but it's definitely the same thing. I never thought I'd be doing this.
And I asked for a lot of help.
Yeah.
Like
tons.
The business side of things does not come naturally to me. So it's like, I hit this problem. I'm like, who can I call that's probably been here before?
Yeah.
How did you do it?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to copy you.
It's so true. And there's, and now there's so many people out there that are just amazing resources.
For sure.
And so many, I mean, yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really exciting. So you get to this point where people are asking you for help and it's kind of snowballing. And how did you help? Because nutrition's like this huge open category where you have, you know, nutritionists and dietitians who are trained sort of traditionally, you have blogs, you have trainers, you have everyone under the sun giving nutrition advice. So how did you, as you were kind of building your business, identify like what your scope was going to be and get the training that you needed and then know kind of how to set your limits when people are working with you?
So I think I'm still trying to figure out where like my like core scope is.
Yeah.
Because it changed, like the more you experience you get, the more you realize like what it is that people actually need. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily what they're asking for or what's actually producing results. And I don't know if there's any like right way to learn something or wrong way to learn something, especially in something like nutrition, which can be like politics or religion.
Absolutely.
And I'm more after like what's actually going to produce results for you versus there's no like universal way to do
it's
something.
It's not one size fits all. Absolutely.
So it's, and in certain fields of nutrition, it's like, I need to prove that this works, but in order to prove that it works, it has to fit these criteria. But what if I can't make my results fit that criteria? Therefore, does that mean my results are not valid? You know?
Yeah.
So it kind of, you kind of end up in this bind where it's, I just want to help people get healthier. So I think I'm still trying to figure out what works, but I started with what had worked for me.
Yeah.
So the people that I had worked with and what had worked for me. And then I just started with that and then slowly started seeing what was working for other people and what wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I read a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to like a bajillion podcasts, watch a million videos.
Yeah.
I've taken some certifications and I'm doing my master's in nutrition and human performance right now.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm definitely like trying to like see where, you know, I want to like get a taste of everything.
Yeah, and there's so much out there. Yeah.
And I think I'm going to be doing that forever.
Like, absolutely.
Especially in a field like this, it's not just about the food that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just the medium that I use to help people transform their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it could be CrossFit.
Yeah.
It could be medicine.
Yeah.
It could be anything. Like, it's just, it's tricky.
Yeah. I love what you just said, too, about that it's not just about food, because I have heard you talk, too, about how nutrition especially is so much about the emotional, mental sort of side of things, because for so many people, it's not just about what, like, people know in general, okay, this is what I need to be eating, but it's how do you actually implement that in your life, and how do you actually develop a good positive relationship with food so that it's not something that either you're always worried about or always stressed about or that you feel bad about, and start to develop this like positive relationship with food and with your body. So how can you just explain how that piece kind of comes into working against gravity as well?
For sure. So my background in schooling in education is psychology. So I think that kind of like helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that it's probably the biggest part of facilitating a transformation in mm-hmm. people. So knowing like why something happens or the science behind mm-hmm. how this could work or, mm-hmm. you know, what is going on in terms of the food in your body mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily always lead to action. But action, knowing why and action is really great, mm-hmm. but you could also not know why and have action and still get results. Mm-hmm. So the psychology part is like the biggest part that that like is going to lead to action mm-hmm. is what I've seen with experience. Because mm-hmm. people have all these hang-ups with, you know, I'm in a social situation, I feel uncomfortable and someone's offering me something and I don't want to be rude
right.
or I don't want to miss out. Or this is like the only time of the year that I could eat this piece of cake. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have three pieces because it's like my last, like I'm Cinderella at the ball
right.
and like this is my last night and
right.
I have to have it.
And then the same thing happens the next night and the next night.
Well, there's always going to be something.
Yes.
It's always going to be someone's wedding and someone's birthday and
yeah.
you're like at the CrossFit Games or you hit a PR in the gym mm-hmm. or like there's always going to be something. It's more just finding out the behaviors or like the psychological loops that you're getting yourself into that mm-hmm. you're justifying something that's not aligning with where you want to be or the kind of person that you want to be.
Right.
So that is super important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like probably what we're best at mm-hmm. and why we get a lot of results mm-hmm. is because we look between the lines of what's getting you hung up and where can we, you know, bend the rules a little bit to mm-hmm. just get some confidence going, and then it's easier to tweak after.
Right.
After you've gotten some confidence and we're doing something that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people in nutrition don't understand where their person that they're working with is at.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you are already successful. Like, I'm already totally dialed in with my nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally in control. I feel very confident in my body. I have a great relationship with food. It's hard for me to remember how hard it was at the beginning.
Right.
So, like, it's the psychological part is meeting them where they're at
mm-hmm.
and then finding a way for them to be successful and then tweaking from there. And it's okay if the way for them to be successful is not where optimally they should be.
Right.
It's better than where they were at before.
Right. It's like those baby steps.
Yes.
And you said you now are in a really amazing place with food and you have it dialed in and have this good relationship. Can you talk at all about like how you got to that place and
yeah.
how – you know, you went from being 16 and getting on the scale and feeling really self-conscious about it to having a good relationship now.
Yeah, I think that it didn't really have anything to do with food.
Mm-hmm.
It had more to do with like working on the other parts of me. And food was just like how those other things manifested themselves. Like
mm-hmm.
for some people, it might manifest itself in addiction. So like my husband's a recovering addict and
okay.
his hang-ups manifested themselves in him going and taking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was I would go and eat food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I don't need to focus on why I'm eating food. It's more like what's going on and
mm-hmm.
how is that? So for me, it was more like socially, I always feel like I come into a situation feeling like I'm being judged.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, I feel like I really want to be liked and I really want everyone to like me.
Yeah.
And I'm automatically like, am I saying the wrong thing? Am I being awkward? Am I moving weird? And then it's like easier for me to just stay home.
Yeah.
And then if I'm just staying home alone, I might as well just eat because that's going to taste good and it's going to make me feel a little bit better.
Yep.
So I think that through learning that through my nutrition, I started putting myself in situations where I would be a little bit more social
mm-hmm.
or I would hang out with people a little bit more. And then that really helped my relationship with food because I realized I don't need food as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I still definitely have moments where I get either super stressed or
yeah.
I'm feeling self-conscious and food is just my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So just working on building awareness and seeing those thoughts
mm-hmm.
and just letting them pass by or
mm-hmm.
pushing into the discomfort instead of running away from it
right.
has really dramatically changed my relationship with food.
That's amazing. I think so many people can relate to that because I think for so many of us, food is more, it brings comfort and I think that's one amazing thing about why CrossFit or any type of training is good is because you can start to see food as fueling your body mm-hmm. and helping your performance. But I think for so many of us, just going back to even when we were kids, it's something that can bring a lot of comfort and that people turn to when they get stressed or when they get upset or whatever.
Yeah, so. If you think about like an infant that mm-hmm. cries, like the first thing a mom does is tries to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people from that like associate distress with food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like an association that's happening consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you grow up and you're not an infant anymore, but distress happens and then you're like, oh, I should eat.
Yeah.
It's like, and some people don't grow out of that. I didn't grow out of that. I still don't grow out of that. I still am like,
yeah.
I walk to the fridge and I stare at the fridge and I'm like, am I actually hungry right now or am I just stressed out?
Right. That's such a great question though. I've seen that, like putting a sign on your fridge that says, are you really hungry? Just as a reminder, because mm-hmm. I think for so many of us, it's like the first thing that you go to
it's easy.
You don't even think about it. And next thing you know, you've already eaten. And then you're like, wait a second, I wasn't really hungry in the first place.
Yeah.
That's so true. So I want to talk to you too about, because maybe you can just explain a little bit more about the approach of working against gravity and what macros are. I've had a few guests on in the past where we focus more on food quality and like the importance there, but I haven't had any guests on yet talking specifically about quantity and macronutrients. And so maybe you can just explain the general philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go from there.
Okay, so the general philosophy would be that we provide for anyone who joins the program a mm-hmm. certain number of carbohydrates, fat, and protein,
mm-hmm.
as well as fiber that you will include in your diet every single day. Mm-hmm. And these are like goals for you to hit or like be within a certain range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to dictate what food choices you're going to make. So generally, we want you to be within 5 grams of your protein and your carbs and mm-hmm. within 2 grams of fat. And then that keeps your calories consistent because most of your calories are coming from carbs, fats, and proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're having the same amount every single day, you're keeping your calories consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And then we track different markers of progress. So stress, mood, energy, hunger, sleep, body weight, body composition. And then it's kind of like a science experiment
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you control as many variables as possible. And then if something changes, then you can like draw causation to, oh, what, let's look at the data.
Yeah.
What changed? Now, what is it that I can try and like change a little bit again to try and make some more progress? Or if you plateau, it's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to make a change. You know, that was successful. If what the change that you made, like I increased your carbs or I decreased your carbs
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, if that's facilitating more progress in wherever avenue you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
weight gain, weight loss, improved sleep, performance, that. So the macronutrients is like the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we talk about, that would be quantity.
Yeah.
And then quality would be when we talk about what types of foods you're going to eat to hit those macronutrient numbers.
Mm-hmm. And what do you have a general, obviously, you know, there's better quality and worse quality things, mm-hmm. but what's sort of your approach to talking about quality with your clients?
I think it depends on like where you're at.
Yeah.
So if you're Julie mm-hmm. and you are 50 pounds overweight and you work 16-hour days and you eat every single meal in your car,
yeah.
like I'm not really going to be talking to you about quality, because if I'm like, hey, you should eat more kale, like you're not going to eat more kale. Like that's not what we're working on right now.
Right.
Like you're not there yet. So it really depends on where you're at. So I see it kind of like a pyramid, like mm-hmm. we're working kind of like the CrossFit pyramid.
Yeah.
Like we're working on the base of the pyramid first. And if you've mastered the base of the pyramid, then we're ready to move up to the next step. And the base for me is just some level of consistency and compliance. And that doesn't even necessarily mean like with hitting your macros. It could be just tracking your food, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm working with Holly Mangold right now.
Yeah.
Who's a super heavy weightlifter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like when we first started working together, it was 2 weeks. Like, I don't care what you eat. I just want you to track it every single day.
Yeah.
And for 2 weeks straight. And then it was like, there was no judgment, nothing about that. For I'm not going to be like, let's not eat bread and let's start eating salads every meal. Like, it's just, I'm setting her up for failure. So it really does depend on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be like certain telltale signs of if you're not getting good quality food. So we're not necessarily looking at your food logs.
Mm-hmm.
We will ask for them if we see some of these red flags. Like one, you're complaining of hunger all the time
mm-hmm.
and you're eating a good amount of calories,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably not making the right food choices.
Yep.
So then we're going to start talking about quality, or if performance is really suffering
mm-hmm.
or if your body composition is not changing and your weight is going down, then We might look at quality there, like maybe there's causing some inflammation or you're having some like water retention, like mm-hmm. we can start looking at that kind of stuff. But it really depends on where you're at. It's like, that's what I mean, like I'm still trying to find where yeah. like our what our philosophy is, because it's so about who you are and where you're at mm-hmm. and I want us to meet you where you're at instead of you have to like fit yourself into our program. It's I've seen the most success that way.
And I love that too, because it's so true that not every single person is the same. And so you can't approach every person the same way. And a lot of it is about knowing what that person needs. And I think another unique thing is that you actually have coaches who are working one-on-one with all of your clients. And we talked, I think, earlier just about accountability in general and community. And I know you have a Facebook group as well. Can you just talk about the impact that has on the success of your clients, like having yeah. that one-on-one relationship, but then also having the support of the whole community of people doing it together?
I think the one-on-one relationship is a good source of trust mm-hmm. and confidence. Like someone's looking out for me. Like someone has my back. Mm-hmm. Like someone is leading me in the right direction. And a lot of people that try to make a change with nutrition comes with like this anxiety of, I don't know what food choices to make.
Yeah.
Like, is this salad better than this salad? Should mm-hmm. I have a potato or should I have rice? Like what? So this person is there to like help you through yeah. that. And they really do care so much about you and your, it's like mm-hmm. your one place a week. Some people don't have that one place a week. Like it's kind of like therapy. And like a lot of people
yeah.
see like stigma associated with therapy, but I think therapy is pretty cool. Like I think if you need therapy,
yeah.
you probably could have used it like a long time ago.
Yeah.
it's like this one place that's 100% judgment free and safe for
yeah.
you to bring whatever's going on with your nutrition
mm-hmm.
and nutrition's tied to so many different aspects of your life. So it's just, you know, this opportunity for you to work on bettering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that trust and confidence and, you know, feeling like you have someone who's got your back just
mm-hmm.
gives you this mindset of, I don't want to let that person down.
Yeah.
And that helps keep you consistent. You also have to send photos of yourself every week.
Okay.
And that's like an immediate way to make someone vulnerable. Like
yeah.
you have to look at these photos of yourself every
yeah.
week. And it's just like very eye opening. And if you feel any negative emotions towards that, you don't want to be that way forever. Nobody
yeah.
wants to be that way forever. So it kind of faces up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to work through that and talk about it. And then the community is, I think I got really lucky. Like, I'll be 100%
really?
Honest. I got so lucky that this group of individuals are
mm-hmm.
just, I think the fact that we are so closely linked to CrossFit really helps because
mm-hmm.
it's just the perfect community of people that understand hard work, because
yeah.
what we do is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like a quick fix. This is like we're trying to transform your whole life.
Yeah.
And if someone's trying to transform your whole life, it couldn't possibly be easy.
Right.
So I think CrossFitters know what hard work is like.
Yeah.
They actually kind of like the hard work, and they're willing to invest in themselves
mm-hmm.
to take the time to see that. And they're not generally looking for the quick fix, because it's like, I'm not going to get a muscle up and if I only go to the gym 10 minutes, 3 times a week, you know?
Right.
So they see that it takes time and effort, and the community is all that group of people. And you see so many people that have been where you're at and are now where you want to be.
Yeah.
And it gives you like a lot of hope and a lot of support. And I think they're just amazing. Like they're so amazing.
That's so amazing. We have a Facebook group for my training program, which is different, but at the same time, it's so cool to just see how everyone feeds off of each other and how their kind of positive results and stories inspire other people in the group. And then even just sharing their struggles is sometimes even more powerful for them to know, hey, I'm not alone in this, and we're, you know, we all have good days and bad days. So
yeah. And your coach is only one person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go into the group, it's like thousands of other people, and now you're getting like a bunch of different people's perspectives that are doing the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have hit that exact same struggle. Your coach is just one person.
Right.
And I think a lot of our clients are like amazing at being a support system and giving advice and providing recipes, or
that's amazing.
Who knows what it is.
It's I love that. And I'm a super big proponent of shared medical appointments, which are now starting to take shape like in the medicine world, where basically instead of just going and having a one-on-one appointment with your doctor, you can have an appointment with a whole group of people who have diabetes or who have high
cool.
blood pressure or who have like chronic back pain or something. And just being able to talk to other people who are going through what you're going through helps, you know. And that's a perfect
do they see
perfect
the same
situation
group?
Yeah, you could stay with the same, they're set up in a number of different ways, but you could see the same group for like 6 months or something. And it's a great way for these chronic diseases where the interventions are a lot more lifestyle based than they are let me see my doctor and get a new prescription.
For sure. And I'm sure you could see the other people being successful, and it motivates you being like, it's possible, versus when you're alone, you feel alone and
right.
you're like, I don't know if I can do
right.
this.
Right. And you don't want to tell anyone. You're like, oh, I have this disease. I don't want to tell
yeah.
anyone about it. But really, a lot of people walking around in the same situation.
Totally.
So,
that's yeah. really cool. I didn't
yeah.
know that that was happening.
The power of community.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So how, now you're working with a lot of these athletes who are here competing at the games. How did that come about? Which is
oh
amazing. I mean, I first heard about you from a lot of, from like Katrin and Camille, and everyone speaks so highly of you. And so I'm glad we finally got to meet, but how did you start working with them on their nutrition?
My husband is Michael Cashew,
okay.
and he was on the Hacks Pack
yes.
team. So they won the CrossFit Games twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he hooked me up with Molly Vollmer.
Okay.
And she's on NorCal CrossFit competing mm-hmm. here. And she was like the first one that I had ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a couple other elite level athletes in other sports. So I work mm-hmm. with Jessica Lucero, who's like
okay.
the best 58 kilo
yeah.
weightlifter in American history. And she's
amazing.
She's the first ever elite athlete I worked with. And mm-hmm. it was easy for me in weightlifting because it was like my sport and I totally understood what was going on. And then I worked with Molly mm-hmm. and we had amazing success
mm-hmm.
and she just told Lauren Fisher, and then
yeah.
Lauren Fisher told her boyfriend, and then it kind of just like spiraled
yeah.
out from there. And, that's just how it happened.
That's amazing.
It kind of just,
so what have you learned from working with some of these elite athletes? Cause obviously CrossFit's a unique sport, different demands than weightlifting, but what have you learned from them and their training and their needs as far
right.
as nutrition goes?
I learned a bunch of interesting things.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really interesting getting to, like, because they get the exact same program that every other person gets
mm-hmm.
in terms of, we talk about, we have the same check-ins, we
yeah.
go through the same process, and we talk about way more than just nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about a games athlete compared to just a regular CrossFit
mm-hmm.
gym member
mm-hmm.
would be that, you know, the CrossFit Games is not a goal that you can shift the timeline on.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, like, there's more pressure in terms of, you know, if you just want to lose 10 pounds, you could be like, okay, this is going on in your life. Like, we can slow things down a little
yeah.
bit. But when the CrossFit Games is coming up, it's like, you really can't
yeah.
slow things down a little bit. So
yeah.
there's no, like, the CrossFit Games is going to happen regardless of whether you're ready or not.
Mm-hmm.
So losing 10 pounds, you can make that timeline however long you want it to
yeah.
be. So there's definitely a little bit more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to be consistent and compliant for longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us get like higher up on the pyramid in
mm-hmm.
terms of working on different things. So
yeah.
that's timing of their nutrition, focusing on like, I'm eating a banana during my workout. Does that work for me? Or does it, you know, working with like someone like Cara Webb, who
mm-hmm.
she pays attention to every single thing she does. It's wild.
It's amazing.
It is actually amazing.
Yeah.
And so she can eat, have whey protein
uh-huh.
and she'll feel it in her stomach
yeah.
and know that that's what it was.
Yeah.
Take it away. And then, so we know we should not like use that
mm-hmm.
as a supplement, and then we can start working on different things. So
yeah.
that's, it gets a little bit more detailed. I mean, it can definitely get more detailed like that for an average CrossFit athlete as well.
Yeah.
But the most interesting part about it is that they are exactly the same.
Right.
Like, they're the same. They
yeah.
have the same struggles. They, there's so many, I mean, Brooke Wells is 22 years old. She's in college.
Yeah.
Her friends drink.
Yeah.
She, like, they go out at night and they like eat pizza at the end of night.
Yeah.
Like, she's wants to be a CrossFit Games athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the same level of struggle. They, you know, whether it's like meeting boys and wanting to look good and like feeling uncomfortable about your
yeah.
body, or, you know, Katrin travels all the time and
yeah.
she needs to deal with not being in control of her food often and
yeah.
still, you know, not getting so upset if she's not in control of her food. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's okay. Like,
right.
it's totally okay if like something, it doesn't go 100% to plan.
Right.
And how to get through those hurdles. And everyone deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone deals with body image. Everyone deals with social pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to enjoy their life. You know, when is it okay to let the reins loose a little bit, and when do we need to tighten things up, and when am I going to be a little bit tougher? Like,
mm-hmm.
no, like, you actually can't do this.
Right.
Like, or this is going to affect you this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the most surprising part is that they're the same. Like,
yeah.
they're so human.
It's I think that's the most amazing thing about CrossFit. I think when you meet people, they think that you know, if you're a CrossFit Games athlete, you're up on this pedestal or like everything is so perfect, and it's so not the case. And
no.
I think it's the most eye-opening thing too as an athlete in getting to know the other athletes is realizing that we are all the same. Regardless of who you are, we're all human. We all go through the same struggles.
Totally.
And
it makes you feel so much better.
It really does. It really does. Like, we're all working through this one day at a time.
Totally. So. They just happen to be, like, really fit.
Yeah. Right? Really, really fit. But it is interesting, too, like, having that pressure, like you say, of the games and wanting to keep things absolutely dialed in, how much that can act as a motivator. Like, I've noticed since, you know, my nutrition was obviously way more dialed in when I was competing, and now it's so easy to just not let it be as much of a priority because you're like, oh, you have a million different things to worry about, and is it really important for me to be measuring every single food, or do I need to be doing these other things? And so I think that is one thing that I almost miss about it is you don't have an excuse. You don't even think twice about not drinking at your friend's party because you don't have a choice. Like,
totally.
That's just what you're going to do. And now it's like, well, I could, and nothing would really happen, you know? So I think in some ways it's kind of nice because it makes that decision very easy in your
right.
mind.
Yeah, it's like a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
It's like setting a non-negotiable rule for yourself. I'm dealing with the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I won a national medal at weightlifting last year, and I decided I just don't want to be competing anymore. I want to focus on my business and helping people.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to, like, exercise to exercise. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so used to training mm-hmm. that when I go to, it's so much easier for me to be like, I don't need to exercise today.
Right.
So
and it's
much easier.
It snowballs. It's like I think the first 2 years I was pretty, it's been about 2 years. First years I was pretty good and I just was pretty consistent because I had a program that I was doing and, you know, I feel accountable to that. But just this past month I started residency and now there's all these other things that are so much more important. And it's so easy just to be like, well, you know, I could go to the gym or I could sleep an extra hour.
My brother's in residency.
You know, it's so hard. And I'm only 5 weeks in and I'm still trying to work through this balance of, okay, what is like the right amount and how do you prioritize all these different things? And you'll never find a perfect balance, but
you can for you.
Yeah.
A different. And that's
yeah.
That's
and it changes. I mean, it'll change constantly throughout our life
yeah,
and the things that we're doing.
If you decide you want to have children, then when you go through pregnancy or when you go through breastfeeding or when your kids are at a certain age, like that's the amazing thing about nutrition and exercise is that like it can suit you where you're at mm-hmm. in your lifestyle, wherever it is. It's just, it's awesome. And there's like this pie of life.
Right.
And it's people like have, if you like, there's this pie of life and each slice is like relationships, family, friends, nutrition, health, mm-hmm. exercise, training, recovery, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, if like further out in that slice of pie is like perfect, mm-hmm. everyone's at like different levels. The dot is at different places in that slice of the pie.
Yes.
And a lot of people in the CrossFit community or at the CrossFit Games, like they're all the way on one and then they're below on the other.
Yep.
But when you're at a stage in life where you're at or where I'm at, where mm-hmm. we're not like focused on like this one event or like this one competition, you're trying to find more balance. Sometimes being super, super high on the nutrition scale is taking away from another piece of the pie.
Right.
And that's not necessarily worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's affecting your overall quality of life. And even for a games athlete, that might be affecting their performance.
Totally.
Like if you're not having a good relationship with your family or your husband or what, that is going to affect you in the gym. So sometimes pulling the reins back there mm-hmm. and like finding what that balance is. But I know residency is crazy. My brother he's been in residency for, this is going into his second year.
Okay.
And he says he has no time. He's just, and it's not even that he has no time. He's just exhausted.
Yeah. That's the hard part, I think, is just trying to prioritize sleep. Because when you're tired and exhausted, like nothing else matters. You make bad decisions about working out and eating and, you know, it's, but at the same time, you just want to do everything. You want to learn as much as you can. You want to be there. And so, but it's fun. I mean, so far I love it. It's just a very different day to day than I've been used to.
You're lucky you have like a good baseline.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very difficult for you to fray like way too far. So like go easy on yourself.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I mean, that's the biggest thing is you just have to be patient with yourself and be like not judgmental, like you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Be compassionate because you're like way ahead of 95% of the American population for sure.
Thank you to CrossFit. Yes. Yes. So what do you eat on it? Do you have like a typical day, or what is your kind of day to day now that you're in this balanced stage where you're not necessarily focused on a competition?
It depends on like if I'm traveling or if I'm at home, mm-hmm. but pretty much the same food. I like to change up the vegetables just cause, yep. and the meats, like the proteins. I just mm-hmm. want to get like a very different amount of vitamins, minerals, mm-hmm. like amino acid profiles. Like I don't want to be like stuck in the same thing.
Yep.
And I just think vegetables are kind of interesting. So.
I love vegetables. Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with vegetables, and there's so much variety.
Yeah, and if you, like, convince yourself that they're so amazing, even yeah. if you hate vegetables, it's just, like, adds this – it opens up this mm-hmm. huge door of, like, flavors mm-hmm. and colors. And
it's so true.
So I definitely change up the vegetables, but I always have an omelet in the morning. Mm-hmm. I keep carbs really low in the morning, and I'm always going to eat, like, my carbohydrates around if I'm going to be working out.
Yep.
If I'm not working out, I'm going to keep carbohydrates a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. And I have fat in the morning and fat in the evening, and mm-hmm. if I'm working out in the middle of the day, I'm not going to have too much fat around when I'm working out. Mm-hmm. And I love sandwiches. They're super convenient. Mm-hmm. If I'm like traveling, I can always bring them with me.
Yep.
I travel with two Tupperwares always.
Okay.
So that I can go grocery shopping wherever I'm at and I can fill those Tupperwares. Yeah. I always have like cut up peppers. I love peppers. Mm. I can eat a pepper like an apple. Mm-hmm. avocado, same thing, like straight with a spoon.
Nice.
And I like steak. I mean, I'm not really like a huge planner, but mm-hmm. definitely like vegetable, protein, omelet in the morning, sometimes either a sandwich or a salad if I'm not training that day.
Love it. Love it. Well, I want to finish with three questions I ask everyone.
Okay.
So first one is three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Okay. Mine are going to be a little different.
Hey, you can say whatever you want.
One of those three is I make my bed every single morning, no matter where I am.
I love it. Yes, that's so important. And I mean, people talk about that, but my husband, I never used to. And since we got married, we always make our bed, and now it drives me crazy if we don't, but it starts your day off on the right foot.
It totally does. Yeah. And it also gives me like an idea of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because if I'm like super stressed out, it won't be done as well. Whereas if I'm like good, I'm calm, I'm like in a good place, I'll like spend the time to like smooth out the corners. I'll like tuck in the flat sheet. Like I can like see where I'm at in the day and like start being aware of that. So making my bed every morning has like totally changed my life.
I
didn't do it before I met my husband either.
Yeah. It's crazy how you start to develop those habits. Now I'm like a neat freak and I make my bed every morning.
I now started doing a CrossFit class, which I was training by myself when I was training for weightlifting.
Yeah.
And that's like completely been amazing for somebody who's like a little socially awkward. It like gives me this like thing to like make friends.
Yeah.
Like it's an easy way to make friends. And it's CrossFit gyms are like the same everywhere you go. So it's or similar everywhere you go.
Right.
So it kind of like I have like a leg up. Like I don't feel super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I'm learning something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing would be,
there's Chris Hincha going up on stage, sneaking up.
Yeah. The third thing would be that I do not sleep with my cell phone in my bedroom.
Love it.
So the cell phone is like plugged outside of the bedroom.
Yep.
It doesn't come with me. So that's not my alarm clock. Mm-hmm. I bought a $5 alarm clock. So that's like in my bedroom.
Yep.
But if it's in my bedroom, like it'll be the first thing I look at. And I mean, there's always going to be some type of text message or a notification or like, and that like mm-hmm. it can wait. Like mm-hmm. it totally can wait. And I don't want to finish my day or start my day that way.
I love it. I also keep mine out of my bedroom. But you just brought up a really good point, because I still use it as my alarm clock because I have to actually like get up and walk over outside in the hallway and turn it off, which I need. But then it's still the first thing I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. So that brought up a very good point. Maybe I need to get a new alarm clock but still place it away from my bed.
Yeah. So you have to get up and go turn it off.
Yeah.
But or you can put your phone on airplane mode.
Right.
So that you won't like, because if you click it to the alarm, you'll see the other stuff too.
It's true.
And it even if you don't look at it, it's still there. Like, imagine if like an emergency, like not an emergency, like a bad thing happened.
Yeah.
Not an emergency. And you saw it. You're not going to respond to it. It's still there.
But it's in your head.
It's
yeah.
definitely there. You're not going to stop. You might as well answer it.
It's so true. It's so true. I got that. I had a guest on a little while ago, Dick Costolo, who told me about that airplane mode trick, which I found to be very useful, especially like doing it like an hour before you go to bed at night. Even if you have your phone around, you're not getting bombarded by the notifications.
Your sleep will get significantly
And you realize
better.
You don't need that stuff. I think I realized it when I went on vacation earlier this year and just didn't use my phone at all and how refreshing it was.
So awesome.
And it's like we all need that. We need like some shutdown time every day.
I actually read, I don't know if it was a study or an article or something recently, but like one in every 4 minutes is spent on social media.
I believe it.
How crazy is that?
It's so crazy. It's scary, actually.
It is
like
totally
what's happening
scary.
To us because of it. I don't know. But
it's just so, it's such a habit. Like even if you're not even doing anything, just like scroll through. Okay, good. Like one in every 4 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it though. That's crazy. What about one thing that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you have trouble implementing it or haven't found a way to do it yet?
I think if I set some type of goal for myself, it would have a huge impact on my life. But it's like really hard for me right now.
Sounds
I don't
like
know
you're pretty goal-oriented, though.
I am super goal-oriented, but I mean a goal for myself, like not a goal okay. for like the company is not myself.
Yeah.
I see that as its own thing.
Personal goal.
Like a personal goal. Mm-hmm. So I've been like dabbling in a million, like I just took a hula hoop class.
Oh, cool.
But like setting a goal of some sort in terms of like a hobby mm-hmm. or exercise or nutrition, mm-hmm. like whatever it is, I don't have any like definitive goals that like I actually really feel invested in. I think that would be beneficial for my health.
It's hard to do that though when you've been at a high level and you've had a goal when you were competing and
every
then,
goal feels less than that.
Yeah. It's a very real thing. I think you see it a lot in like collegiate athletes or people who have been doing sports their whole lives and then they no longer have that and you're kind of lost for a little while. Yeah.
It is really hard for me to go to the gym and like now every weight I lift is like less than weights I've lifted and I just can't get excited about it, which mm-hmm. is just such a terrible mindset to be stuck in. I mm-hmm. need to like, it would be good for my health to work out of that.
Yeah. I'm with you. I love it. All right. My last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
A healthy life looks like one where I have lots of friends. I spend 50% of my life at least with other people mm-hmm. who challenge me and make me better and are doing awesome things.
I love that.
And participating in their success versus, being envious or comparing myself to them. Mm-hmm. I'm exercising at least 5 times a week. And outside of that, spending time outdoors.
Yes.
Not being on social media so much and just cultivating amazing relationships.
I love it. Well, we'll end with that. Thank you so much for sitting down
with me.
This was awesome. And you may have inspired me to try finally really commit to doing measuring my food. We'll see. I've dabbled a lot, but I know it's something that I need to do at some point just to have the experience
and
see what it does.
It's even like even me, I don't think you should weigh and measure your food forever.
Right.
So
you need to know like what it is. And
it's like an education. It's like a toolkit. Like now it's like riding a bike. You don't forget how to ride a bike. Mm-hmm. It just gives you this like toolkit of this is how this works right now. Oh, I'm actually eating that.
Right.
Oh, I didn't realize I was eating that. Okay. Right. I get it. Like now I can see where I can shift things.
Yeah.
So.
Amazing. Well, thank you.
I know some people.
Awesome. And people can find you. It's workingagainstgravity.com. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, they'll check you out and we'll put those links in the blog post with this podcast.
Perfect.
So thank you very
much. Thank you so
much. Awesome. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I'd love to hear more about where you are at in your nutrition journey. Adi talks a lot about the power of having accountability and support from another individual, and I found this to be incredibly helpful for myself, and Adi has been that person for me over these past few months, and I have made some really important realizations along the way. No matter how much I learn intellectually about nutrition, putting it into practice is often the hardest part. So I don't know, what have you found that works best for you in terms of dialing in your nutrition? Let me know on social media using hashtag pursuing health. Also, a quick reminder, if you haven't yet checked it out, make sure you head to healthyselfreset.com if you're interested in dialing in your nutrition with me this January. We are providing a 100% free program with 28 days of recipes, meal plans, shopping lists, and workouts you can do anywhere with no equipment. The reset starts January 15th, so head to healthyselfreset.com right now to get signed up. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWAD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWAD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WAD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWAD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWAD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WAD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JULIEFOUCHER. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power.